God, we ask that as you've gathered us this morning, that you now prepare our hearts to hear your word. Holy Spirit, raise our awareness of your presence. Speak to our hearts. May we hear your word. And I pray that it is your word, Jesus, the living word. As my words are transformed into yours, may they bring your glory. May they draw us closer to yourself and to one another. May they continue to transform us into your likeness. And we ask this in your bold name. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from John chapter 12. I'll be reading verse 12 through verse 28. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. And so the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's been my hope and prayer that over the last few weeks you've picked up the essential practices of the faith, and we've been looking at this question, what do I do when I'm worried or afraid? What do I do when I'm worried or afraid? And we've been seeking through the help of that book to learn a practice, a discipline, to help us in the midst of those times when we do feel worried and afraid, to help us relinquish or let go of those fears and those worries and to hand them over to the Lord, trusting God with the outcome of those situations. Now, like all of the practices that we've been learning over the last couple months, this one is not easy. It doesn't come naturally. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of perseverance, a lot of devotion. And so I'd encourage you to stay strong and to stick with this discipline. And while each of these carry their own type of challenges, this morning I just want to talk about a particular challenge with relinquishment. And so if you're following along in your outline, that would be the first point of the outline, the challenge of relinquishment. Now, there are many reasons why relinquishment is hard. We're being asked to let go of something that in some way is meaningful to us, in some way has served a purpose in our life, in some way perhaps has provided comfort. It may even be something that's a really good thing. In fact, when God asks us to relinquish, it's not always bad things or sinful behaviors that we're asked to relinquish. Sometimes they're positive things, good things. Now, as I thought about this week, it kind of struck me that sometimes we come to a place where God's asking us to relinquish out of a place where it's kind of like we don't have anything left to lose. Things are falling apart, our situation's difficult, and it's like, I've tried everything, I don't have anything left, I don't have a choice but to hand this over to God. But there's another time, I believe, that God calls us to relinquish in the midst of our fears and our worries. And that's when we actually have everything to lose. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because I don't think this call to relinquish is as obvious. This is the opposite way that we're used to thinking about life. We're used to working harder in order to attain something, to grab a hold of life, to take control, to work harder to get that which we desire to have. And this little analogy came to my mind earlier this week, and then it came back to my mind this morning, and that's with the game of golf. I don't know how many of you have been watching the Masters or will watch the Masters tournament. I like watching it just because there's green grass and there's lots of flowers and it's really pretty. And this time of year, we've had this little taste of it, but just not enough. And so it instills hope in my soul. But I also like to watch it because I enjoy the game of golf. And there's a reality, at least to my golf game, that I think is true of most people that like the game of golf. And this principle maybe holds true in a lot of other areas too. That if I'm playing golf and maybe I'm playing a decent round and I feel like I'm starting to lose control a little bit of that round or my game or, you know, my ball starting to fade. Well, actually, it always starts to fade, but it's starting to fade even more. There's this tricky thing about the game of golf that the harder I try, the worse I get. The harder I try to fix things, the more I think about it, the more I start to, like, tinker with my swing, the worse it gets, as opposed to staying relaxed, staying mentally focused, just allowing the swing to do what it's meant to do. And I think that we're like that in life a lot of times, that when we have these situations arise in our life that are causing us fear and anxiety, that our nature is to work harder, to grab a hold of it, to try to keep control, to try to overcome. And yet, oftentimes, when we take that approach, we feel like we're losing more and more control. We feel like things may be coming further and further apart. Now, I believe Jesus provides us a great example of how to relinquish in the midst of these times. And so, even as we come together on Palm Sunday, as we begin our preparation to enter into Holy Week, to walk with Jesus through the steps of this week that lead to and through the cross, I believe Jesus provides us example after example after example of what it looks like to live our lives with an act of relinquishment, of letting go. And so let me say a little bit more about that. First of all, the next point in the outline would be that Jesus moves from manger to king. Jesus moves from the manger to the king. I mean, if you look at his lifespan, he comes into the world with such humility, with such a humble beginning. And it says a lot to us about the type of Savior he would be, the type of Messiah he would be. But that type of Messiah was very different than the Messiah that was expected. And so here on Palm Sunday, we read the scripture about Jesus entering Jerusalem, and he's entering not as this humble child born in a manger, but as a king. Yes, with humility riding on a donkey, but being greeted as a king nonetheless. After about 3 years of public ministry, the miracles, the works, the teachings, he's gained popularity. The testimonies have been told. The stories have gone throughout the lands. And so when people hear that he's coming to Jerusalem, they run out to greet him and welcome him as their king. And the next point here is that we see the glory of Christ in this. This is the Jesus who had just raised Lazarus from the dead and called him out of the tomb. And so you have those that were gathered there that were witness to the power of resurrection coming from his voice. And those that are in Jerusalem that have heard of these things and heard of these miracles, and this great crowd of people coming together to bring glory to Jesus, waving their palm branches, shouting Hosanna, proclaiming him King and Messiah. And if you were to look at Jesus' life and ministry at this particular point in time, you would have to say this is the peak of his success. Talk about a successful ministry. I mean, just after a few years, he's got everyone coming out to greet him, to praise him, to bring him glory and honor. He has the power. He has the prestige. He has the people. He's got it all. He's got the control of the world at his fingertips. And I love that line where the Pharisees are looking and witnessing all of this, and they're like, what are we to do? The world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. You might say at this point that he's at the top of his game. He's got everything going for him. And I wonder how many of us can relate to this. For many of us, we set in our lives to pursue this type of success, to get to the top of our game. We may have a vision in our mind of what our life would look like or what success would look like one day. And we set out to find that, to reach that. And most of us are brought up with the idea that we attain that through hard work and determination and perseverance by getting to the grind. And in and of themselves, these are good things. These aren't bad things. I would say a strong work ethic is a good quality to have. It's a good character attribute. And yet, how quickly can we lose balance in our lives? How quickly in this pursuit do we begin to make compromises? If I just put a little bit more time and effort into it, maybe I'll get to this next step. And that next step comes. And I was like, oh, but maybe if I get a little bit more time and a little bit more effort, maybe I can get to that next one. But the reality of life is that every time we attribute time and energy to one thing, it has to come from something else. And how quickly we can begin to rob ourselves and others in our lives and people we care about of time. How quickly we can begin to compromise our faith, our family, our physical health and care, just to reach that next rung on the ladder. And as we reach for that next rung, how quickly we can lose focus on what truly matters. Now, what's the point of all this? Is I think that each of us, maybe multiple times in our lives, can come to these critical junctures in our life where these questions start to enter into our hearts and our minds, like, is this that I'm pursuing really worth it? Does all of this really matter? What will it cost me if I keep going? But what will it cost me if I let it go? And I think that's a question that haunts us and lingers with us and makes this act of relinquishment especially hard. Because whatever it is that we're holding on to it for a reason. It's provided us something. And to let go of it and relinquish it and to give it over to the Lord can be a very scary thing. And so I want to talk about the result of relinquishment. The result of relinquishment. And we see this in verses 20 through 26 in Christ's life. And I would say that verse 23 seems like it's going to be the climax of this story. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And as we're reading this, we say, yeah, Jesus is going to be glorified. And this is good because unlike us, Jesus deserves this glory. Jesus deserves this praise. Jesus is the Son of Man. And as we read this, as we're tracking this story, it's like, yes, here's the Messiah being ushered into the city. The hour has come for him to be glorified. We're going to place him on the throne, and he will rule and reign as the one from the house of David, and his kingdom will never end. And the people are ready for this. And as we read this story, as we anticipate it, we're ready for this. And then we read this paradoxical verse in verse 24. But unless a grain of wheat dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And then Jesus starts talking about how if we love our lives, we're going to lose them. But only those who hate this life in this world, only those who see that the life in this world isn't the pursuit, isn't the way that we're going to find and attain all that we're looking for, isn't going to meet our needs at the deepest level, that only those will truly then turn to Jesus and find eternal life. And the question that comes to us in the midst of this story, in the midst of this narrative, from Jesus is, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go of your life? Jesus quickly moves and will be moving from king to martyr. And we see him foreshadowing this once again in this teaching. That for Jesus, the result of relinquishment will actually lead not to his glory, at least right away, but to his death. As he relinquishes this glory, as he relinquishes his power, as he relinquishes his prestige, as he relinquishes the people that have flocked to bring him praise and honor. In fact, he will move in the week to come from life to death, as he relinquishes his very life. So the result for Jesus of this relinquishment is actually the path to the cross. But that's not the only result, because there's a lot of positive, obviously, that comes from this. He now is living it by relinquishing his life. He's living into the Father's plan for him, the divine plan of salvation. His death will bring us life. His death will make way the path for us to enter into a relationship with God, because the sin will be removed and there will be no more curtain. His death will provide us an opportunity to be a part of God's mission in the world. And the gospel will actually be multiplied, taken throughout the ends of the earth, because the grain of wheat dies. And when it dies and is planted in the soil, it'll actually bear much fruit. And we are the fruit of that. It is no longer Jesus now going out in God's mission to save the world. It is Jesus and the disciples given this opportunity and responsibility through Christ's relinquishment to participate in the mission of God throughout all of the world. And not only that, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is glorified. God is glorified through Jesus' relinquishment. And I wonder what the results may be for us. Now, in the same way as for Jesus, the resurrection comes. In the end is life, and life to the fullness. That promise holds true for us too, whether it be in this life or next. In this life, it'll be tastes of the kingdom. In the next, it'll be the fullness of the kingdom. But while we have this promise of life before us, sometimes the results of relinquishment will lead us first through death. And so I just started to think of some of the ways that we can maybe give ourselves a litmus test. of whether or not there's things in our lives that we may need to relinquish to the Lord. And when we are quiet and honest with ourselves, I wonder if we would state that we're serving ourselves. That the bulk of what we're doing in our life is for our own edification. And if that's true, then there is something to be relinquished. When we look at our lives, are we living outside God's will as it's presented to us in Scripture? And if the answer to that question is yes, there is something to be relinquished. When we look at our lives, are we glorified by others instead of God being glorified? Because if that's true, there is something to be relinquished. When we are living for or clinging to the things of this world, there is something to be relinquished. When we find ourselves trusting in ourselves and our own efforts more than we're trusting in God, there is something to be relinquished. And when we must be in control at all costs, this may or may not apply to my life on many occasions, there is something to be relinquished. Because those who love their lives will lose it. And then Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. Whoever serves me must take the path that I take, that I model, that I place before you, is he gives us the ultimate example, and that is the path of relinquishment. As you look at verses 27 and 28, I love that Jesus says, my soul is troubled. He doesn't say, this is a party waiting to happen. He doesn't say, I'm loving this and it feels good as I lay all of this down and march to the cross. He says, this is hard to let go. This is hard to relinquish. My soul is troubled. And this brings me comfort. So what should I do? He says, should I shout out, Father, save me? And we get echoes in the Gospel of John of what we read in the other Gospels happening in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus crying out, is there another way? Is this what I should do? Father, save me from this. And then he says, no. No, this is why I'm here. So, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. As we've said many times over the last few weeks, Father, not my will, but yours. I believe this speaks to us. It gives us a picture of what it looks like to pursue this path of relinquishment. In the midst of our life situations, past, present, in the future, there are things that will cause us to be afraid and to worry. Some of us are carrying those very things with us this morning. Now, I don't believe these are tests from the Lord. I think sometimes we have this concept of God of like, oh, the Lord just brought this into my life. He's trying to test me. See if I fail or if I pass this time. Well, I just think these are the results of us being broken people living in a broken world. Bad things, hard things, struggles, trials, these things are going to come into our lives. But I believe that what is laid out before us is an invitation, an opportunity from the Lord to say, relinquish this. Let go of it. Trust me with it. Trust me with the love I have for you. Trust me that my ways are better than yours. Trust me with my plans and purposes in this life. Trust me that I will be present with you in the midst of the trial. Trust me that I will provide for you in the midst of the suffering. Trust me that my promises will hold true for you. And in the midst of this, when these things come up in our lives that cause us fear and worry, isn't it true that our first response is typically to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, save me. Remove me. Fix it. Take care of it. Do whatever you need to do to make this stop so that the fear is gone and there is no worry and I can be in peace. Now, I believe that prayer is a good thing. And I believe that Jesus teaches us that we can come to the Father and we can ask the Father to save us and we can seek out. And I believe that in the midst of our persevering in prayer, that Jesus also models for us a great way to have an attitude of relinquishment in that prayer. Father, use this for your purposes. Father, glorify your name. In the midst of these tough situations, when we cry out to the Lord in prayer, might we also be a people who embark on this path of relinquishment and say to the Father, I would love for you to save me in this. And while I'm in the midst of it, I relinquish it to you. I trust you with the results and the outcome. I trust that you're going to be present with me in this. And however you want to use this to bring about your divine purposes, Father, glorify your name in the midst of this. Use this for your purposes. No matter what happens, may others see this situation and be directed towards you in this. This is what it means to relinquish. This is the path that Christ has set out for us. I love this narrative in John because you see Jesus up here on top of the world. Even the whole world is coming after him. And he doesn't say, I'm going to stay here. He says, no, I'm going to relinquish this. I'm going to relinquish my life and I'm going to allow myself to take this path of descent that will lead me to the cross. That's relinquishment. It's letting go and saying, Father, I trust you and I give my life into your hands. And whatever happens down here, may you be glorified. May you use it. And what we know to be true is that God will use it. And God will be glorified when we relinquish our lives to the Father. And that life is waiting on this side. Those are the promises of Jesus. Those are the promises of Scripture. That is the power of the resurrection. That life is waiting on the other side of the descent. And so in the situations that are going on in our lives right now, I know it's hard to let go. I know it's a scary thing. And yet perfect love casts out that fear. And so may we cling to Jesus. May we ask the Holy Spirit to be present with us. May we trust that the Father's promises will be held true as we relinquish and let go and trust God with our lives. And so as we enter into a time of prayer and reflection this morning, I ask you to consider this. What is one situation in my life right now that is causing me fear and worry? And as the Lord lays that on your heart this morning, again, I simply want you to pray and say, Father, I'm going to relinquish this to you. I'm going to use this essential practices of the faith. I'm going to step into this. I'm going to use this discipline and this practice because I want to turn this over to you. And I just invite you to make that commitment this morning in prayer and then ask the Spirit to sustain you as you follow through with that. Perhaps even later today. Let us enter into a time of prayer Holy Spirit, provide for us the situation in our life that we most need to relinquish to you. Let us pray.
Lord, as we sit in prayer, as we consider the things in our lives, or the one thing right now, Lord, that perhaps is causing us the most fear and anxiety, the one thing that this morning, as you've gathered us, you are inviting us, giving us an opportunity to relinquish to you, Lord, I just simply pray, Holy Spirit, that you raise our awareness of your presence in the midst of this situation, that you'll wrap your loving arms around us, that you'll strengthen us so that we might trust you with this situation, that we might trust you with our very lives. Knowing that you'll hold us, knowing that you'll remain present with us, knowing that there is life on the other end of this journey. And Lord, I simply pray this week that as we pray through Holy Week, that we will see you modeling for us this path of relinquishment. How at each step of the way you give your life over to the Father. And Lord, may we follow in your steps. May we, as your disciples, follow you with our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, strengthen us for that journey. And we pray, Father, that in this and in all things, you will be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.